Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the
Hi everybody, welcome to the RHAPBBB&B for weeks 8 through 10 of Big Brother 21. Welcome to the podcast version of clowns looking at you through the mirror, and that we are hopefully funny, but mostly creepy. Mike Bloom here to break down as we're winding around the corner in a very hectic month of Big Brother that was basically just Christy on the block and some other stuff too. Let me welcome in our panel to break down everything from the past month. Of course, my co-host, the co-owner of the B&B, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to clarify, I do not support that description of the B&B. I'm praying for you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. Now I'm going to go cry in my sweatshirt now. Because it's sweatshirt season. Tank top season has firmly moved into sweatshirt season. I'm sure this guy is happy about it as well, considering that he is from the Great White North. So I'm assuming sweatshirt season is all year round. He is a B&B staple. We are so happy to have him back. As per usual, Puya, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I always do enjoy a good stay at the B&B. Hoodie season is my favorite, so I'm down with that. And more importantly, I'm down to talk some shenanigans with the both of you today.
Yes, and there were a good amount of shenanigans. You know, I feel like every time we come on, we start to try to like mark the season in chapters, and Big Brother 21 has been nicely structured in that. I really do feel like the past 4 weeks or 3 weeks have been the story of Christy Murphy and Jackson Mickey. Like, just because maybe Christy has been on the block every single week, but it really does feel like, especially from a show perspective, it's really been focused on them. I know that I'm talking with two people who also just, you know, were on the morning updates the past 2 days. So obviously a lot of this stuff is fresh in your minds, but at least from a show perspective and a storyline perspective, it really feels like it's oriented around these two characters, which makes things super interesting because one of them just left in the double eviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, essentially it was like this battle of two titans, you know, because once we had Grateful and that six person alliance or whatever, like really fall apart, then it truly became sort of like the Christy side versus the Jackson side. And, you know, who is going to get who? And, you know, who would have thought little baby Nicole comes in and slays the Christy giant that we saw. So, yeah, it definitely does feel like the sort of end of this chapter for sure.
It's pretty incredible considering how Mickey was kind of dead to rights, and then he's been able to just pass back and forth with Holly, and then here, as you said, baby Nicole gets one in the middle there and takes probably the biggest shot of the game thus far. And honestly, it's been quite a rapid change from what the pre-jury was to what now we have in the jury stage. It's been a really fun post-jury segment that we've been getting here.
Yeah, I really can't think of a more stark change, and maybe it's because the first few weeks were really not good, but it really feels like two different seasons there. And I mean, to the point where, yeah, like you said, you know, Jackson comes from being abhorred in the first few weeks to being, you know, a pretty celebrated character. I wouldn't say fan favorite because of the shit that was going on with him and Holly this past week and the way it was shown, even though it was watered down a bit. But I mean, what a difference just several weeks make. And I cannot believe we're only a few weeks away from the finale as well, because I guess the other thing that's sort of been punctuated with this is just a lot of the term fluid strategy has been used a lot. And I feel like this is like as much fun as last season was and having very two distinct sides. I feel like this is more representative of Big Brother, where it's OK, you're in a house with people and it's supposed to be in a structure where you're trading power back and forth every week. So you want to make sure you're in good with everybody and the targets might change every week. That's definitely been a bit more representative here, even if targets change the day before the eviction, as is wont to do on Big Brother 21.
Yeah, I feel like this season is actually going to hold up really well going back and doing rewatches. Obviously, the first couple weeks, like, I don't want to forget that, right? You know, that was very much a part of the season. And, like, Mickey's a total asshole. But, like, here we are, you know, later on the season, and we're dealing with, yeah, like you said, it feels like a totally different game. I'm actually kind of into this season, given all the, you know, like, ugliness, obviously, aside. But I think it's actually been really fun. And to see Cliff and Nicole come so far, like the Fellowship of the Zing, laughing at that, to now, you know, them being in the final five, I mean, potentially final four, is like so crazy.
So let's get into some of these people who end up becoming dearly departed over the past few weeks. We're going to go into our pre-season predictions, and the closer and closer our comic book predictions are holding up here as we are facing BB Comics. We won't know how true they are to compare them to right now. But Puya, you can hopefully do a good job here in trying to figure out how good these names are and the predictions are, and if they're any better than hashtag horse, because they must be, or else I'm really scraping the bottom of the slot bucket here. Let's start with the person who we thought was probably a shoo-in for the end game. Lo and behold, one infamous Taco Tuesday sends Annalise out of the house to join the jury in a Love Island villa situation that she was probably wishing for the entire 8 weeks she was in the house. Liana, before the season started, how did you think Annalise would do?
Okay, so I had her making the jury, and I wrote that she would be the bland one of the season, won't even be able to make her witch costume interesting, because apparently I thought she was going to get a witch costume at some point, but she was also going to be most likely to have multiple people fall in love with her.
Ooh.
And I had her BB comic name as the Sultry Sorceroo, so I guess that was related to her witch costume.
Sorceroo?
Or is it Socceroo, like Australian would say soccer?
No, it's definitely Sorceroo, because I think it was related to her witch costume.
I don't get it though.
She's like a sorcerer, so she's the Sorceroo.
Is she a kangaroo?
I don't know. Okay,
well, I'm hoping that we can sort of build out this group now of just superheroes that happen to be animals. Between super sorceroo and hashtag horse.
Sultry. She's like a sexy kangaroo sorcerer.
There's a whole community that just like completely like, ooh, I should listen to this podcast more now if you're bringing up that type of thing. So I had Annalise also making the jury. I said she would wear at least one costume, though I did not go into specifics as to whether or not they practice the dark arts. I said she'll have the best blindside face when she's not on the right side of the vote. And I said she has at least one outwardly emotional reaction when she doesn't win a comp, which I guess happened when Mickey was encouraging Holly on the sidelines, right? And I said her superhero name was Goalie Gal.
Oh, Goalie Gal. Like, I know mine was terrible, but that was also
I'm really like clearing the low bar here. All right, Puya.
As the judge, jury, and executioner here, Liana, you were looking good until Mike said anything. You were looking good, but after listening listening to what Mike had to say, you really planted your flag with the sorcerer thing, and it kind of does sound like something Boston Rob wouldn't want to eat on Survivor. So I'm gonna give it to Mike on the fact that Goalie Gal, even though it's kind of basic, is a representative of Sis, who was kind of basic.
Oh man, although that one I could see being true for Sis. Oh, hers will be chicken related.
Yeah,
you know,
it's gonna be like the Bok Broad. I don't know why I'm using like 20s terms to refer, like Goalie Gal, Bok Broad.
Oh, holy cow. Jeez Louise.
Oh, maybe she'll be Holy Cow.
Yeah, right. But in a chicken costume.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So wait, we'll see. I feel like she what do you think is going to be the biggest stretch for BB Comics? Like, who do you think is going to be the biggest stretch for them to come up with a personality for?
Jess? Yeah, possibly. I mean, they might go like something Snooze Fest related, though, too. Like, really hammer home that zing.
My money's actually on Kemi. I think as beloved as Kemi is outside of the house, I feel like she didn't do anything like big story wise in the house for people to for them to, you know, create anything significant. So I don't know. We'll see. They make interesting choices in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wonder, like, what would David's be?
Ooh.
Like, he could be something related to, like, first one out kind of deal or something. Because you're, I don't know. Because, I mean, essentially, like, the ones that you have the hardest time for is that you have literally nothing on them. Like, at least Sis was in a costume once. Sam Smith said, send it, right? So, like, at least there's one thing that they can latch on to. I don't know.
Well, let's move on to somebody who will certainly have a very interesting comic book persona. Let's talk about Nick. Let's talk about the mastermind, sinister, best player in Big Brother history, according to Christy. Let's talk about how we thought Nick would do, because I'll go first here, and I'll admit I took my shot with Nick. I had Nick making the finale.
Ooh.
I thought he was going to be our runner up this season. I said that he would try to, quote, mac on them honeys day one. I said he'd get exposed for all the hyperactive scheming he attempted to do. I said the people he'd cut as HOH would come back to bite him. And I said he would throw at least one person under the bus during his eviction night speech. And his superhero name is the Troubled Talker.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, I guess I meant like he was talking to people with troubles. But the more we got to know Nick, I think that found another meaning.
Yeah, oh, okay, that's definitely not how I interpreted it. It was that Nick struggles speaking and not saying super, like, awkward things. Okay, so I didn't have Nick doing as well, but I did have him making the jury. And I said that he will get a haircut from a house guest this season. God, the haircut's so bad. He will get into a fight with another house guest, and he will be the front runner, but ultimately get screwed by a twist. The comic book name I had for him was the Bowl Cutter.
And then I, you know what? That legitimately, of all the ones we've done, might be the closest to what's going to happen on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially given the whole Zingbot Zing, the prop comic Zingbot, that one like might actually be legit. It's just, I looked at that picture. That's all I could stare at was his stupid picture with his stupid bangs. They're so bad.
Okay. So I want to put this on hold for a sec. Mike, where are you learning your lingo from? Where did Mac on them honeys come from? I'm really concerned.
I'm not sure. I might have been, I don't know, hearing what the kids do nowadays. So I don't think he even brought that up. I don't know. Maybe I was like, I don't know. I think I was like writing drunk at that point where I was just in so many predictions that I'm like, oh, this would be fun if he said he was going to mac on them honeys. Though, again, knowing Nick, I would not have been surprised if he actually used that vernacular in the house, vernacular.
Oh, no, I think it's based on his last name. Macaroni. Oh,
that's what it is.
Or whatever. Okay. Because I was looking to see if his bio he said that, but I think it's
Are
his
you
last
ghostwriting
name.
For Mike, Liana? Is that what's going on? Because you knew Mike did it.
Wow.
So technically, when Mike wins, I win. I've actually won all of these.
So then let's get back to the point at hand here. So you had jury, Mike had runner up, the point you. But I do think that. Talking about the someone he cuts coming back to haunt him. Cliff, it literally came back and literally voted him out. So that's point there. But I did like the things you had to say, and I think Bowl Cutter sealed it for me. So I'll get point Liana here. Point Liana.
Wow! I'm the bee's knees, knocking on them honeys.
Oh boy. Oh goodness. All right, let's move in.
Okay,
let's move into our poor double eviction. candidates here. Let's start with Jessica. I am, by the way, very shocked that in this like B&B we're having to dissect Annalise and Jessica's game, because again, I feel like in any ordinary season of Big Brother, like penciled them in for two of the final five, but for some reason they became the big targets. Listen, we're not complaining too much. Liana, you let out a heavy sigh when I was about to get to Jessica's name. I can only imagine what you wrote for her.
Okay, I have to confess something. So I wrote predictions at the beginning of the season for everyone, but Jess. I literally didn't even have her name down on the list. Like, the way I start by is I write out all of the contestants that are on the season, and then I sort of go in and like plug in what I think. Literally not even on the list. Okay, so I think I have to forfeit this one because it's not like I had her name and just didn't think of anything. I genuinely forgot about her.
Wow.
So that's my confession.
All right. Well, listen, I will take the point, though. I think honestly, you might have been the most accurate prediction on Jess, given, you know, what the people have to say about her. I had Jess making the jury. I'm glad that I got the point by forfeit because a lot of this is not accurate. I said that she will get expended as a loyal member of her alliance. I said she would kick butt in the endurance comps. I think it really took, you know, when she made that comment about like, I've run marathons, I think I took that at face value and was like, oh, okay, perfect. She'll win all these endurance comps. Not did I imagine her doing like a Wilhelm scream in the most recent endurance comp. I said she'll have the most tearful DRs voting people out. And I said she would have the most emotional reaction come jury voting, which we shall see. But her superhero name was Supermodel.
That's creative. But, you know, Mike, like I like it. I will say, though, I think I did have the more accurate prediction by writing down nothing, because I feel like that's what Jess did. Although it is funny that we were talking about, oh, like the biggest move of the season, you know, getting out Christy. But like, oh, Jess put up Jack and Jackson. Like, I always forget that that's a thing that happened and that she had this like crazy big move. So, yeah, I guess good on Jess for that.
I mean, yeah. Do you think it's unfortunately with recency bias, you think she's disadvantaged by the fact that happened like week six in a 13-week game?
I think that, and then she just like disappeared again.
Yeah, it was like one spike and then she was off the radar again until she got booted.
Well, because it's like, well, I think she was like, okay, like new lease on life. I'm part of the alliances now. And then it just so happens that history repeats itself. Another sixum forms without her knowing. And then she's on the outs. And so basically history repeated itself. But this time, instead of being nominated in the beginning, she ended her game by being nominated for that exact reason. So it's like a weird graph of Jess's game and not Jessica Graf.
Yeah, somehow.
I feel like there's just some kind of irony out there that, Jackson wins two HOHs and with his two HOHs sends home the two people that should have been in the final five in Sis and Jessica. So that was pretty incredible as well. The fact that he's the one who got those two out.
Gotta take out the goats. At least he didn't light them on fire like Corey.
Did you know? Did you hear Corey was working out the other day out by the beach?
Oh my God. Does TMZ have like a slow news day? Is that like what happens when TMZ needs to find stories? They're like, oh man, this Z-list reality star was working out on the beach. Everyone check it out.
Guys, he went shirtless. The actual article title is Ex Big Brother Star Corey Brooks, Sexy Guts Galore.
Guts galore.
That's not good.
Beach MMA sesh.
Maybe that would be his superhero name if he came back into the house. Guts galore.
this is Corey Guts Galore. Yeah, but in terms of slow news day, I think that's TMZ every day. So.
Well, let's finish with the biggest news item of these batch of booties. Let's talk about Christy. So I'll go first with Christy here, because for one of the biggest players of this season, I was a little down on Christy going in. I had her going pre-jury. Oh. I said she would form the first alliance of the season. I said she would attempt to use her flirting strategy when she's put on the block to no avail. I believe she said she's like, I'll flirt with guys. It doesn't matter to me. I said she has to face a punishment where she has to do a task whenever a sound goes off. And I said she would try to call a house meeting. And her superhero name was the Spirit Guide.
Okay. Ooh, the Spirit Guide. That's actually pretty cool. So I was a little bit higher on Christy. I actually had her as my runner-up. And I said that she will be more socially aware than Caitlin, although will be equally bad at puzzles, will go far based on her Tommy connection. And I had for her BB comic name, the Dream Catcher, and then in parentheses, catching dreams.
Oh, that's what that means.
Yeah, in case
listen,
I was confusing.
We don't want another troubled talker situation where there are multiple meanings coming out of it.
Right, yeah. So she's, you know, catching okay. dreams.
So both had valuable points in there. Both were wrong on the placement prediction. However, I do think since Liana got a forfeit point, I'm going to give this one to Mike to even the score.
Wait, what? That's not how that works.
I didn't even get a say on whether you got a forfeit point, but you got a forfeit point. So now Mike gets a point.
No, he gets the point. Because I
forfeit.
So
Liana gets the point here. My bad. Hey! I almost Kalished it.
I didn't write anything, so therefore I get the point.
Yes, that's how that works.
That's how it should have been.
Right, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, now you realize you're going to trick the system. So here's something I want to ask about Christy, because I think, undeniably, she is one of the biggest characters of the season. And a lot of people said she's a lock for an all-star season. Here's something I'm just getting a sense of. Do we think that Christy's on the path where she comes out of the Big Brother house, sees the reaction to her, and says, I don't want to ever go on the show again?
I think it's possible. I actually think that, I don't know if she would be a lock to return. I feel like, you know, Big Brother could be in a situation where they're like, we've seen it. Like, you know, we're, especially with her being on the block, like 4 weeks in a row, you know, like that's a lot of Christy. And so I could see maybe them being a little burnt out, on having her on the show. But obviously that's independent of like what her response, seeing the response would be, but I don't know. Her dog's still running her Insta account. So there's that.
Wait, go ahead.
I think that, for me, I do kind of see her taking the reaction and kind of backing away a little bit. I kind of got that vibe when Julie was taking her to task in her exit interview with her. But I do think she's the type, like, if Tommy was to convince her, she'll go back. I think that's possible. I also don't agree with Liana in a way. I don't think she's a lock for sure. I think she's kind of going to be the, if they can't lock up a Vanessa Russo, they might go for Christy. Or if they put someone in from her cast that had beef with her, they will bring her as well to have drama there. Like, I think she's one of those that she'll benefit from a specific other bunch of variables that'll allow her to be in there. I don't think she's an immediate, okay, you know what this needs? Christy. Let's call her up right now.
So speaking of Christy's dog, and maybe this is actually a nice segue into our BNC, because somebody did send something to us from, I believe it was, I believe it was from at Rachel Swin. BB20, not to be confused by the new breakout star of RGP coverage in Rachel Swindler. But so, Liana, you mentioned last time how Christy's dog ran her Instagram account. And sort of as what we predicted last time with Mary, Christy's dog has kind of been clapping back at people.
Yeah, this dog, like, really is kind of crazy on Instagram. Like, I have some of the posts are just in, like, all caps. So I'm not surprised at all that Beans would be clapping.
Yeah. So here's one example that I can play for an audio version. So Bella posted something on Instagram. This was back during before the Taco Tuesday when she was up against Annalise of like waiting for the Christy eviction party. Like, and then so Christy's account, again, run by the dog Beans, decided to, you know, snapshot that. I guess that's what you do on Instagram. I'm still new to it. And then Beans had an actual response. Beans has a voice. And we're going to hear that voice.
What?
Womp, womp, womp. Someone has to tell little old Bella that she was at the Christy eviction party by herself without her plus one Nick. That seems to be the target of the future.
That's like baby Zingbot. Like, that's kind of what it sounds like.
That's so crazy. Strange.
That's really strange. That's like Masked Singer. That's voice modulation. Oh, for sure. So someone recorded that and then modulated it to be Beans's voice. That's so bizarre.
I got Jessica vibes from that too. Like, was that Jessica from inside the DR? Like, all right, send this to Beans. Beans, do this. Voice over me.
I just think that Bella, like,
Like Bella sucks ass.
Oh my god, that was such a good clip. Oh my gosh, like, because like we actually got Stephanie asked how like awful that Jess exit interview was. to which I don't really understand.
I just loved her sort of saying something and clearly being in her own head of just think the checks is coming out the door. Why do you think that?
Huh?
So she's like, as if she was just like, oh, like she was just completely off in another world. Maybe she was taking in the audience for some reason or just already thinking about soaking it up in that jury house. But Jess was a true, as our prediction shown, and Liana's lack of prediction shown, she was very different, I think, than what we predicted of her early
Most
on.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Oh man, sorry, I'm still thinking about that Beans audio clip. That's freaking creepy, right?
Oh,
it's
creepy.
Oh man, that thing's gonna haunt me.
It was so slowly paced as well. I don't know if the person was reading it or if they're making it up as they go along while still trying to sound like a dog, or at least what they think a dog sounds like.
Is that, yeah, I mean, obviously I've never heard a dog speak. But that's horror movie talking dog, right? That's come play with me kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's what she says to Christy when she's going to come back home.
Yes, come play with me. Yeah, actually, for the, I guess we can segue into the B and C. Because one of the things I wanted to talk about was this was Beans, because one of the comments was, this was in all caps. OK, so Beans wrote, because obviously, I love you so much, Mom. Stay there for as long as you need and bring home that bacon, baby. The power of prayer and manifestation is real. You are amazing at this game, and I can't wait to have my first Taco Tuesday with you. Signed, Beans. Which now is super creepy when I hear that in the weird Beans voice modulation thing.
I thought it stopped at bring home that bacon, baby, but then it goes into this weird holistic approach of see what manifestation does. The universe is rewarding you, Christy, for all of your hard work.
And then to end with, I can't wait to have my first Taco Tuesday with you, which I don't know. Does that mean Christy will just berate Beans for, having a terrible haircut? I'm not sure. But
could you imagine if Taco Tuesday now is Christy putting Beans on blast?
Take that, Beans. Well, Beans can't speak up for him or her itself. I don't know, because it's got a voice. So at least, woof, woof, mother effer. Okie dokie. So a few other things. We got some comments. One, Elizabeth wrote in and asked, so did you see The Neighborhood is getting a second season? Can you report why on the next hashtag RHAPBBBBBNC? Yeah, I have no idea, although I know Man with a Plan got a second season as well, or another season as well, so I don't think that I'm really the barometer for whether or not shows should get renewed. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I will not be watching.
Do we think it's purely due to fandom for Grover Johnson?
I mean, probably. If we had to make a prediction as to why it got a second season, it must be the child, Grover. Grover Johnson.
Breakout.
One thing I did want to talk about, and this is tangentially related, a show I will be watching, The Masked Singer Season 2 premieres on September 25th because there's nothing else going on that day. Thanks, Fox. So I'll be watching it later. We have the butterfly, the eagle, the leopard, the spider, sort of some maybe more traditional characters. But we also have the thingamajig.
What?
Which looks like a stalk of asparagus. I genuinely.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the name of one of the characters on The Masked Singer, is the thingamajig.
Wait, did they just were they really pressed to come up with a name at last minute? Because if it looks oh my god, I'm seeing a picture of it now. Oh my,
can we make
it looks like a green pineapple.
I sort of
like a green Muppet pineapple.
And it's got like two different sized eyes, but it's got some really stylish glasses. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. So that's a thing that's going to be happening. In addition to the thingamajig, there's also ice cream.
Wait, not the ice cream, just ice cream?
Just ice cream. I guess it's like the ice cream man, but it's literally a giant ice cream cone with a suit. So and there's also egg.
So not the when are they just dropping? Is it because it's a piece of food you have to drop the article from it?
I don't know. The egg. Little Humpty Dumpty up in here.
Oh yeah, do we think that the person who plays Anne from Arrested Development is in egg?
The mayonnaise.
Her? And of course, the most interesting character, Tree, will also be there.
So, all right, now the naming logic just confounds me on this show.
I don't know. But Triumph the Insult Comic Dog is going to be a guest.
Oh my God.
So, what? Yeah, I know, right? Maybe because he's like a puppet. So they're like, oh, here's costumes. Let's get Triumph back, because that's what 2019 is missing, is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Wait, Puya, who's more savage, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog or Beans?
I think Beans is coming for that slot, especially if Beans ends up watching The Masked Singer. We might get a Beans on Instagram being Zingbot next season. Who knows?
Zing Beans.
I like that. Done.
Oh my God. No, Beans is super creepy, guys. Okay. Let's so not normalize Beans. Okay.
Rihanna, did you say the leopard earlier?
Leopard.
Okay.
I heard
the leopard and I was too afraid to ask why.
Oh man. Well, that would be nice. Oh, nice connection to it coming out.
Well, maybe the thingamajig has leprosy. We don't know. So, okay, actually, speaking of Zingbot, okay, yeah, the BBBNC, whatever, it's not like a...
Can we just change it to BBBNC? Should we remove the from it?
I think we need to remove the, add ice cream to it, and then we're good to go. So, John wrote in and asked the Zingbot saga. Thoughts on what led him to being tracked by Big Dick Johnson and what may have happened after the Zingbot escaped. So I was inspired by this and the oral history of Dan's funeral to do my own history of Zingbot. So I think that it would be a lot of fun if we talked through the history of Zingbot and really try to understand like what the frick is going on here. Okay, so Zingbot first premiered in Big Brother 12, Zingbot 3000, nothing super special, just first year of Zingbot. Only one Zing was actually on the real, like on the edited show. Yeah, and it was Lanes, and it was Everything is Bigger in Texas, except your brain, which I thought was hilarious. Zingbot was still like a little rusty in the voice. But anyway, so then we move on to BB13. This is the bride of Zingbot, where the Zingbot gets married or wants to get married, but you have to build his bride. So essentially, the contestants are like building Zingbot sex dolls, is like as far as I'm concerned.
And that was probably
like really terrible robot.
And that's like the first red flag that we should have picked up on as the downfall of Zingbot, right? Of like, if we're making like he can't naturally find a mate, he must have one constructed for him by these house guests.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Zingbot starts off innocent enough, but I think there are some clues here, Mike, that you're tapping into that I think are really key. So then Rachel marries them, which I don't know if she's ordained, so I don't know how legit this wedding was. But it was Big Jeff who built the Zingbot bride. Oof. Who, no name, just bride of Zingbot. But I guess they can conceive because the birth of Zingbot then is BB14. So out of Zingbot Labs, the contestants have to bring baby Zingbot to life in the Zincubator. And that was pretty cute. This is probably the most wholesome it seems that Zingbot is the entire time. Little Zingbot 4000 pops out of a little Zincubator. Pretty cute.
And this is the one that Brittany said Zingbot almost died in, though, right?
Yes, this is the one where Zingbot almost died, which is funny because you can definitely tell it's a different person in the costume because it's much shorter. Like Zingbot is essentially like this big tube thing, but he's got some sort of joints and in the other costumes. Yeah, like you can see those more. So clearly this is like a little shorter Zingbot. So Zingbot almost died. Then BB-15 is baby Zingbot's birthday. Okay, so this one's also pretty cute. Gina Marie had a pretty funny zing that baby Zingbot sounds like Andy, which I thought was hilarious. That one we're just going to skip over. It was happy Zing Day, Zingbot's birthday. Okay, this is where things start to get weird. So BB-16 was Zingbot rebooted. So this is when Zingbot wasn't working properly and he gave props instead of zings. So then Kathy Griffin comes in to roast the house guests instead. And then they host a Zingervention. Okay, I don't know what happened at the Zingervention, but they have to reboot his like sarcasm, zings, wit, sass sort of features. But then the next season, that's when Zingbot is newly Zingle. Okay, so something happened during the reboot that ruined his relationship with the bride of Zingbot.
I wonder if it was like I think the matter was that he was getting nice because he was becoming a family robot. And I think then Zingbot started turning mean after the reboot, and that prompted a divorce of like, you're not the robot I married.
See, I think what happened was after they rebooted him, they caused a spark into the time-space continuum. And then it just got reverted back to BB-12 Zingbot at that point. Plain.
Oh, so like, so like BB-12 Zingbot. So it's like the end of Endgame where 2014 Thanos comes into 20 whatever, where 2012 Zingbot just jumps into Big Brother 17.
Yeah, so then in BB-25, baby Zingbot is going to create a time capsule for them to jump back in time and bring him back to his family ways. Watch, it'll happen.
So, I mean, be that as it may, if there's some sort of time travel, time continuum nonsense going on here, I'm still concerned about baby Zingbot because the bride of Zingbot was not that great of a robot and was built by Jeff. So, you know, so like I'm just like really concerned that baby Zingbot is like abandoned somewhere. I don't know if that was enough time for the Zingbot to like grow up. I don't know what the developmental timing looks like for Zingbots. But yeah, so this is when BB-17, newly Zingle, he got an upgrade. You can call him Zingbot 9000. He gets on Twitter. He gets a bachelor pad. He's newly Zingle and ready to mingle.
Oh, so like, but I guess Jeff's influence is still there crisis. Then, right?
I'm not sure.
Well, he is Zingle and ready to mingle.
That's true. Yeah. But I think this is definitely like some sort of midlife crisis type situation for Zingbot. But it does turn into him running for president in BB-18. So child and divorce scandals aside, he's running for president to make America zing again.
Ooh, that does not play well in retrospect.
Oh, this is going to get rough. So the entire competition is like they're trying to get Zingbot electoral votes. And so they're trying to like it's the knockout competition for the veto. And so this is actually the one where Paul gets his Secret Service costume.
Oh, yeah, Guts Galore has the eagle hand, right?
Yes, exactly.
Guts Galore.
Just using that for Corey in the future. So that's this competition, which I didn't remember they were the same thing. Anyway, so they're trying to get Zingbot electoral votes, but in between each time, like each round, they have a thing that pops up that's a news story of a scandal. Okay, so these are the titles of some of the scandals that Zingbot was already involved in BB-18. Okay, inappropriate zinging of an intern. Ooh. Okay, that's one. Deleting zings from a private Zing server. Embezzling zings. Plagiarizing zings from another candidate's speech. And my personal favorite, soliciting zings in a bathroom stall.
Oh, my okay. God.
Yeah. So this is already before he even gets elected. Okay. Zingbot has been up to this. I don't know what's going on in that bachelor pad, but apparently some weird stuff. So then in BB-19, the goal of the competition is to send Zingbot home to Planet Zingbot.
So clearly, like he's getting like chased out of the country, right?
Yes, exactly. So he gets elected. Okay. This is the quote was despite scandal after scandal, he won the presidency, but Zingbot colluded with President Puntin of Planet Pun.
Oh my God.
And so I guess he has to like get home for some reason. And this is also Home Zing Home, I think was the name of this competition. So I don't know like what's going on, but clearly like more scandals, collusion with President Puntin. So
when I think Puntin, I'm thinking of a Masked Singer like football headband.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. Is it the Puntin or just Puntin? Puntin?
Just Puntin. No, the is silent.
Okay, so then BB20, things are just getting worse. So President Zingbot is back.
Why did he come back? He left.
I don't know, but it says President Zingbot is back, you know, like one of those. And then now all of the house guests, this is where the house guests start to get involved as part of the scandals and collusion, because Zingbot specifically asks house guests to hide incriminating photos in the house. So this is hide and go veto, but every veto is also an incriminating picture. So these photos include Zingbot buying votes, dumping toxic waste, shredding evidence, Zingbot at the Playboy Mansion, and Zingbot in a trench coat flashing a woman.
Oh dear God.
This was last year?
Guys, yes, this was last. I like did not remember any of this. Like, I remember he had a rough life, but like, Jesus.
Yeah, like, oh, remember when Zingbot showed his robot penis to a woman?
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. How, like, not an appropriate role model for baby Zingbot. I mean, goodness.
Yeah, I hope Zingbot was, like, put in the foster system. The further away it gets away from Zingbot, the better.
I know, for real. Not a good influence. So they were part of the Zing Patrol, the house guests were. And so, like I said, their goal was to hide the incriminating photos of Zingbot. So then we move on to this year. Okay. So, this is where now the scandals and the fake news about his presidency have finally caught up to him, forced him out of office, and he's on the run. But again, we're making the house guests complicit, because now Zingbot, who's saying, I can't go to prison, they're having the house guests help him escape the Zingatentiary or whatever it was. Before the Department of Zingland Security can catch him. So poor Big Dick Johnson is just here trying to do his job on obstruction to arrest Zingbot for charges, obstruction of justice, collusion with President Puntin, and Zings Against Humanity. So that's nice to see the Puntin thing brought back from BB19.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad that part of the Zing universe has been constant throughout. Should we also mention the fact that he flashed a person? Like, why is that list of the Zings Against Humanity, I guess?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But now we have like the intergalactic police like trying to get Zingbot for what is really some serious crimes if we look back at all of the pictures and all of the plagiarizing, the embezzling, all of those things. Like, this is pretty crazy. So I'm actually a little nervous for Big Brother 22 next year. Like, what is going to happen? Because, man, Zingbot, like, really needs some help.
For real.
Wow. I mean,
so that's the saga.
It's crazy, Zingbot, though, to look at, like, the house guest role in it, where it was like, hey, like, get Zing roasted by Zingbot. Hey, it'd be great if you could set me up with someone to, like, hey, I need you to hold on to this money for me. It's clean, I swear. Just like I gotta take care of some stuff.
It's like, hey, yeah, can you hide all this evidence about my scandals in the house? I know. Zingbot started out so wholesome in Big Brother 12. And over the course of these 9 years, it's really been a true roller coaster. I mean, considering like essentially half of these Big Brother, the like last four have all been about him, like the president saga, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen next, but I think he really does need to be put in jail. Bring Kathy Griffin back. Like, this robot has committed some serious crimes.
Is the Zingbot reboot too gritty, too dark and gritty today?
I think so, but and it's jarring. But then here's what I think should happen. Right. Next season, Zingbot's funeral. To have a crossover happen with what just happened. Put these two together. Zingbot's funeral. Zingbot, we, you know, send him away. We're at the wake. And then baby Zingbot from now on will be coming in and zinging everybody. That way baby Zingbot can show everybody that, you know, there are good Zings out there. There are good Zingbot representations out there. Now, baby Zingbot 4000 is going to be the one to take the flag and run with it.
I like that. I think also, you know, like the Zings haven't been that bad, but Zingbot did call Brett a giant douche, and now we're moving on to pompous douche. So I don't know if he bought a thesaurus or a dictionary and he's trying to expand his vocabulary.
You can't do it when you're on the run. You don't have time to, you know, keep a low profile as a giant robot. But I guess that's a good point, Liana. I really do feel like the reason why the Zings have gone so far downhill in recent years is because, for some reason, the writers have focused less on the Zings and more about the canon of Zingbot.
Yeah, it's like it got really intense because it was like, hey, Zingbot is going to have a baby in this incubator. And then now it's like here are this elaborate like scheme and plots and evidence. Like, it's insane. So thanks for indulging me. This has been crazy, and I'm excited to see what happens next year. I'm going to like bring Zingbot to justice.
Justice for Zingbot.
I mean, hopefully Big Dick Johnson will, which was by far like it's truly surreal to think about that now the Zingbot story has grown so much that they are involving other people external to the house to come in and play members of the Zingbot cinematic universe. It's absolutely insane to me that this man has to put on this act as a member of Zingland security, biff it on the way in the house, and chase a robot around and scream like he's Darth Vader at the end of it. I don't know if this has gone too far or not far enough. I'm legitimately concerned.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can bring in like Grandma Zingbot, right? And then it's like him, but in the granny costume. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a way to tie everything together. Yeah, it almost feels like, have we gone too far or not far enough, right? Like, that really is the question.
What's good for Eddie Murphy is good for Big Brother. That's what I always say. All right, let's get into our first game here. So we are moving into some questionable matter to more questionable matter. I'm not sure if anybody out there knows this because it did not make, you know, the live show, much to this person's chagrin. But dear old Holly Allen, 24 Wyoming, wrote a song about Big Brother, and it provides a perfect opportunity to play one of my personal favorite B&B games. Please forget the lyrics. And here's how it's going to work. I am going to read through the lyrics of Holly's song as backed up by Tommy and Christy. Occasionally, I will throw some blanks in there, in which case we'll go back and forth. You have a choice of two words or phrases to fill in that blank. So we will see how on page both of you are when it comes to being, you know, as much of a wordsmith as Holly is.
Oof, okay.
Okay. I did watch this, but I tried to block most of it from memory. So we'll see how it goes. The only part I remember is the, oh, snap, we're on TV. And she points to her like overall snap. So,
it was pretty cool. I didn't even get that.
Yeah. Oh, snap, we're on TV.
All right. So, as you mentioned, Liana, the big hook is welcome to our house. This is our family. Ooh, it's game on. And oh, snap, we're on TV. Gratitude circles, family dinners, and when it's blank time, we are all winners. Puya, is it and when it's comp time or and when it's voting time, we are all winners?
Okay, so going off of the, because I did not check this out for what I'm assuming obvious reasons. I'm going to go with what would have been the worst one. I'm going to go with comp time.
That is correct. And when it's calm time, we are all winners, in which Tommy and Nick cheekily lean out and say, psych!
Psych! Oh, it's so clever. They're so, so funny.
All right, Liana, let's go back.
Nick's so funny.
Let's go to you back to you here. We got Cliff Hogg, damn blank dad, and Jackson Mickey, that sweetest southern thad. So we got Cliff Hogg, damn blank dad, and Jackson Mickey, the sweetest southern dad. Is it damn you savage dad or damn the world's best dad?
I think it's savage, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. Damn you savage dad.
I like southern thad.
I don't get it. You guys watch much more live feeds than I do. Was there something where he was called a thad at one point?
Like Chads and Thads, right? That's like a thing.
Like that from Blue Mountain State? Thad?
No, no, no. Like, oh, this is a Thad. A trend. Like, this is a, no, it's like a description of a particular, person. Like, this is a Chad. You know what? I'm doing a horrible job describing it.
Use Chad as slang for frat bro dude guy.
Yeah,
I think that's
what
you're
meaning.
It's like, apparently, according to Urban Dictionary, a Thad is basically a mega Chad.
Oh!
Like a hanging Chad.
No. Yeah, it's like a hanging
Chad. From the election that Zingbot won.
Or Thad is an odd mountain man who enjoys birds and laid-back river rafting.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the first one. I actually really like this description on Urban Dictionary. So don't get on the bad side of a Thad, or he will continuously yell, "Fight me, bro," at you.
Fight me, bro. Fight me. Come at me.
I mean, this is a mega evolution of Chad that we're dealing with. So it makes sense. He's very powerful. We're tied up here. We're going back to you, Puya.
Okay.
A knockoff Sam Smith. Ooh, he sends it all. And oh, look, Kemi, you are blank. Unforgettable or so beautiful.
I'm gonna go with the James Blunt. I'm gonna go with the so beautiful.
That is correct.
Yes. Thank you, James Blunt.
I'm very surprised that after they mentioned Kemi, they just didn't like completely devolve into them all trashing Kemi instead of finishing the song.
Oh no, not after the talking to. Now they love her and she's amazing and she's beautiful.
And unforgettable.
Ugh, what a fad.
All right, let's go back to you, Liana. I was confused with this one. It sounded like they said Ovi American Beer. I don't know if that's the right word, but I heard like Ovi America something like beer. So Ovi America Beer, the Cookie Monster Whiz, Ding Dong, it's David, ooh, that blank kid, ooh, that comeback kid, or ooh, that smiling kid.
Okay, I actually do remember this because it doesn't make any sense. It's Comeback Kid, which is stupid because he didn't come back into the game.
But this is like, this is them sort of predicting how people are going to come up with BB Comic stuff. Is there anything else besides him being part of Camp Comeback that people remember about him?
Oh, okay. So I guess because he was banished to Camp Comeback, that makes him the Comeback Kid. Because I guess, like, you know, we talk about the jury foreman, right? So he's like the
Comeback. I feel like they have predicted a thing with Liana, though. I think the Sultry Sorceroo and the Cookie Monster Whiz are definitely a shoo-in now. It's happening.
What? The Cookie Monster Whiz?
Yeah, that's how they described Ovi America Beer.
Oh, right, of course. Ovi America Beer.
Kabir is his last name.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Oh man, this is somehow worse than the Nick Macaroni.
Macaroni.
Is that macaron?
I think it's macaron.
Is it a macaron?
I also will say, Ding Dong, it's David. Ooh, that comeback kid. Tommy and Nick reply with papow.
Papow. Ah, I like that. Papow.
I don't know if it's like are they shooting something?
I don't think I've heard pow-pow. Like,
pow-pow, maybe.
Well, I've heard pow-pow, yeah, exactly.
Pow-pow-pow. Oh, what a mastermind.
All right, here's some, this is not a question, but just to finish off this verse, is Nick a poker player or a therapist? And they say, hold up, it's Julie with another twist. And they say twist about 10 different times. Then Holly starts to rap.
No.
Which, I'm sure you would have loved to watch. And so we go into MCHA. She bakes different cakes. Let's go. Mic check, change your batteries, get your ass out of bed, blank. Don't make them say please or Big Brother agrees, Puya.
Don't make them say please.
That is correct.
Okay.
Does Big Brother say please? Yeah, I guess they do sometimes. Please. Big Brother loves you.
Big Brother hates your rapping. Stop that.
Stop that.
Maybe Big Brother's voice should be the Bean's voice when like they really want to chastise you.
Oh, man. Yeah, that thing's creepy. Jackson actually had a pretty good What was the twist where they kept, it was for Annalise, I think, for Sis, and like it was like she had to go make eggs. Jackson had a pretty good impression of that voice. It was pretty good. So yeah, maybe we need to move on to something else.
Do you guys think if Howie was in this house, he would have threatened to cook beans?
Very fitting.
I'm gonna cook your damn dog. Stop crying, Crispy.
I'm gonna eat your beans.
Yeah, though I don't know how he feels about, like, would he be accusing Jackson of being part of the First Order? Like, Star Wars feels very different than it was 10 years ago when BB-6 happened.
Yeah, very different.
All right, so yeah, get your ass out of bed, don't make them say please. 10 to 10, then noon again. Get with the show, get with the flow. Fake life is real, real life is fake. Don't beep it up, or you'll be looking fake, or you only get one take. Liana.
Oh, I don't remember this one. You'll only get one take.
That is correct.
Yes.
And so, yes, they actually did try to censor Holly. And yes, Nick did mess it up. So I'm sure you assume that.
Oh, like Nick tried to go like beep.
And he did it about half a second too late. So it was like a beep echo.
Yes. Yeah, okay, well, we know he won't be getting a job doing any type of censoring, although really, Nick, there are multiple reasons
after the show. Yeah, at all.
That's true. Well, maybe he'll become a poker player, who knows.
Snoozing in the morning, at night we don't sleep, we don't count, we just wrangle them sheep. Ooh, PETA, not good. Chow down on blank, carb loading's amazing, damn Spencer done goofed. I don't know who Spencer is. I think that's what they said. Damn Spencer done goofed, that kid's fugazi. Pooyah, chow down on cereal or chow down on pasta?
Who chows out on cereal? It's gotta be pasta. Let's go with pasta.
No, it's cereal.
Oh my god. Ugh.
Matt Kleins has some words
so
for
does
you,
Nick.
Child.
So does, they both got words for me now.
I'm really concerned as to who Spencer is.
Well, I think he's one of the people they refer to, like the production folk, I believe.
Oh, you think he's one? Who was the guy that Jackson was asking for more watermelon? Randy? Is it that guy? I don't know. Okay, so they're not the same person. Or Spencer.
Well, I'm looking up Urban Dictionary on Spencer because it works so well for Thad. Spencer is a loaf. Spencer is a loaf of cornbread. Would rather play Fallout than lose his virginity.
So Spencer is an opposite of a Thad, yeah. I think.
No, he's a loaf of cornbread, Liana.
F y'all.
Oh, okay. Well, F y'all.
Yeah. Maybe why he's so fugazi, is because he keeps saying that to house guests in the DR.
Spencer is, you saying.
All right. So let's go back to, luckily the rapping stopped.
Oh, oof.
But the song keeps going. Liana, this one's for you. There's not much Christy will not manifest. And if you ask Cat, blank really is the best. And if you ask Cat, slop really is the best. Or if you ask Cat, she really is the best.
She really is the best. I think I'm going to go with slop.
That is correct. But given what Sam told Rob on Wednesday, I highly doubt that's true.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was a revelation. Yeah, very graphic. But I got the picture, at least.
There's something about Sam's with being like, yeah, tore up their buttholes. That just...
They were bleeding. Send it.
Send it to the emergency room.
Flush it.
Flush it. And I want Sam Smith to do, like, I know we talked about his cameo, you know, very much the last time, but like now him doing like PSAs about medical, you know, advice.
Oh my god. Or I was thinking he could be doing what's the name, the probiotics, the Jamie Lee Curtis promotes.
Yogurt. Activia.
You gotta get Activia. Send it.
When you have Activia, like your butthole won't bleed. It's the opposite of slop.
It's good for you.
All right. Oh, so, Booyah, this one's back to you. Annalise Arsis, you are so blank to me. Now strut it, Jessica. Ooh, damn, mommy. Annalise Arsis, you are so nice to me. Or Annalise Arsis, you are so young to me.
There is no way Holly would want to cop out to that. So I'm going to go with nice. It's nice.
Yeah, that is correct. No way. I completely agree. Is Holly bringing up any comparisons to any sort of scavenging birds by saying you are so young to be Holly's?
Actually, I heard that the old buzzard is going to be the next character on The Masked Singer. So I think we have that.
I think it's just old buzzard.
Oh, right. Okay.
I also love, again, in true, as we talked about before with the Annalise predictions, the only thing they could find to say about Annalise in this is, you're so nice to me.
She's nice. Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah, except for when she was like shit talking you behind your back, Holly, before she got nominated.
Yeah, right. But, you know, to her face.
All right, Liana. Oh, hey there, Jack. Can I wash some clothes? Why is Holly blank? Why is Holly wearing the cutest clothes? Or why is Holly always on her toes?
Why is she always wearing the cutest clothes? I feel like Holly wouldn't say that about her. I'll say, why is she always on her toes?
That is correct, but I'm very confused.
What is that even, like, it's not like, what, is she Brooklyn Heights? She's not always on point. Like, what?
Again, I turn to you both as the live feed experts on this panel. Is she consistently in releve?
Not that I'm... I don't get it.
The only thing that I can make out of this, or decide that it is that dealing with Jackson, she has to be on her toes because homeboy is sensitive about the weirdest things and is just outrageous at the weirdest things. So she got to be on alert. I don't think they're talking about that. That's just what I'm deducing.
So you think this is maybe like a little bit of a subtle jab at Jackson of like, I always have to be on my toes because he's an asshole.
Jab on
maybe.
Yeah, he went from a Thad to a Spencer in that one comment.
Rude.
Well, congratulations, Liana, with a perfect score for you. Apparently, that song that you listened to once got stuck in your head, and you are now the preeminent expert on Holly's rap.
It did get stuck in my head. I didn't catch most of the lyrics of the rap part because that was pretty garbage. but I really liked the chorus. I thought that was nice. Oh, snap. We're on TV.
Except for when Nick attempts to riff at the end.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Oh, let me see if I can play it.
Oh, no, you're too kind, Mike.
You know what? Let's do it. I want to hear it. I've never heard it. It'll be a live react.
Here we go.
It's our house. This is our family. Ooh, it's game on. And oh, snap, we're on TV. Welcome to our house. This is our family. For watching us all living our dreams.
Our dreams! Yay!
So, yeah.
Our dreams.
Definitely don't feel like I missed out there.
So much for my dreams. I don't know. I think you really did. You need to watch the whole thing. It's like two minutes.
And I actually feel like, you know, I admire Holly for the effort, and I will say that, look, we're doing our part in that we gave her the attention that Big Brother did not. So we're doing our part of the community.
Exactly, right? I mean, she wants her storyline to be something other than Jackson, and so I guess she chose terribly written songs to be her other storyline. Maybe whoever got Zingbot elected needs to come in and help Holly with her her image change.
No, I don't know how well that'll end. Be like, have you ever thought about showing your boobs to everyone while singing?
It's really gonna help with your poll numbers.
Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors. And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on.
Okay, so let's move on to our next activity for the BBB&B. And I want to revisit a competition. It actually hasn't happened this year, but it did happen last year. And that is the houseguessonly.com. I guess was it a veto competition?
Yeah.
I think I don't actually remember what the competition was from BB20.
I'm pretty sure it was like something along the lines of like finding prospective dates. Like I want to say it was maybe I'm conflating it with the Big Brother Canada competition where they had to like deliver a bunch of skip the dishes stuff, but it felt something similar. Maybe I'm just misremembering. Mm.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember and didn't bother to look it up. But what I love about houseguestsonly.com, first of all, the sound clip is my text notification ringtone. It still is, and I love it. But it introduced this concept of houseguestsonly.com like intro line. So sort of like your Tinder profile. Some of the examples that we got last year were, I'm Rachel, I'm from Las Vegas, and you hit the jackpot with me. But of course, everyone's favorite is, I'm Caitlin, I'm 24, a fan of essential oils, meditation, and the back door. So that motivates us to write our own houseguestsonly.com lines for the house guests that were on this season. So I thought it would be fun if we just went around and shared some of the lines that we think might have been used if the BB21 producers decided to bring back houseguestsonly.com. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think makes sense considering how particularly amorous this cast is.
Exactly. This could also be the Love Island crossover that Sis wanted. I'm not sure. But I think that'll be a lot of fun. So I will kick things off. I have one for Holly. Hi, I'm Holly. I'm from Wyoming. I'm 31 and I'm from Wyoming.
Oh, actually, I have someone. I have one like along a similar line. Here we go. I'm Tommy. I'm from New York, and I'm already obsessed with you.
I have one more for Holly in the same vein. Hi, my name is Holly, and I'll leave you moaning for Wyoming.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's see. Who else do I have? Okay, I have one. I have one for Annalise.
Oh, Lord. Okay, here we go. Okay.
I'm Sis. I'm 22, and I forgot my second point. That's stupid. My other one was real dumb. It was, I'd like to bawk, bawk, bawk on you.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
All right. Well, I could come up with something along the similar lines.
Hi, I'm Annalise. I'm 21, and I'll be the hen to your cock any day.
Yes.
All right, I have two for Annalise. I'll do them back to back together.
All right, here we go.
I'm Sis, and if you use the promo code adjective, you can get 20% off your fat fit tee. And then the other one is, hi, my name is Annalise, and I know you want these eggs Benedict.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. That was definitely written by the DR. There's no way Sis could come up with that one.
Or maybe something like, hi, I'm Annalise. Why don't you just meet me in the shower with the stool and I'll do the rest?
Yeah. Could be Holly's also. I'm not sure. All right. I got one for Jackson. Hey, girl. I'm Jackson, and watermelons aren't the only melons I'm into. All of mine were watermelon themed. I'd love to squeeze your watermelons. Yeah. Let me water over your melons. It's just all derivative.
Yeah, something like that. I had something very similar for Jackson. Puya, you have anything that's not watermelon based?
I have one. Hi, my name is Jackson. I may have a square head, but I'm no square in bed.
Or the shower.
Ooh, I like that. The stool. Maybe even some, Jackson can be realistic of like, hey, I'm Jackson. I'm a server. Probably going to dump you in like 2 days, but we're gonna have a great time before then.
But for the first time in my life, I need to be selfish. Okay.
Hi, my name's Jackson. My mom wanted me to do this.
That's it. Oh, okay.
I have one that I really wanted to make work, but I don't think it does. Hi, my name is Jackson, and I play chess, not clackers.
What? Or like,
is he talking about his balls?
Yeah, that's what the clackers are. Eh?
But so he plays with his balls? I don't know if that's what you want for your dating profile.
He plays with chests, not clackers. Because chests, not chests.
Or maybe something like, hi, I'm Jackson, and screw the bird, I'm just taking the bush.
Yeah. Got my bird in your bush.
Yeah, or like, hi, I'm Jackson. I'd rather you be on your knees than me.
Yeah.
something like that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'd rather stand on my feet and while you're on your knees.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Those are garbage. Okay. All right. I've got one for Nick. What's up, bro? I'm Nick. Wanna bang?
Yeah.
Because that's the amount of effort.
Mine was like, yo, I'm Nick. Can I hump you?
Yeah. Okay. Right. Perfect. My other one was, speaking of Arrested Development, was I'm Nick. I'm a therapist, but I'm more like an anauropist, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I know.
Or it could be like, yo, I'm Nick, and the carpet does match the drapes.
Oh, perfect segue for me. Yo, what up? I'm Nick, and I'm all about your fuzz, cuz.
okay. I could go with Jackson's Bush one, I guess.
And then I got another one. Bruh, I'm Nick, and like a card game, I'm a poker.
Oh, he is, with his toes, too. Yeah. Ugh, which, yeah, that actually, okay, so that reminds me of Tommy's. Okay, I have one for Tommy. Oh my gosh, I'm Tommy. I love you. I'm obsessed with you. Please swipe right on me so Nick stops fondling me with his toes.
Oh, I like this. Like a bargain.
Save me.
Mine were mostly just Nick digs. Like Jax's, I'm Jack. I may look like a Walmart Jason Momoa, but at least I last longer than Nick.
Oh, God. Yeah, remember Jack? Like, I can't even think of, I guess, like, Jack would be like, you know, if everyone put their dick in you, then you wouldn't have enough room in you for me.
What?
I mean, he does have a big dick, so, you know. No shaker bottles here.
Oh, I have one for Kat. Hi, I'm Kat, and am I looking in the camera?
Yeah, mine were all variations on I'd love to conspire against you. I'd love for you to conspire against me. I'd like to conspire against you against a wall. Which I also don't. I don't know what that means.
I had hi, I'm Kat, and Brett, are you there? Brett?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I got one for Sam. I'm Sam, I drive truck, and I'd love to see you back it on up. Beep, 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 send it.
Okay, here's one.
Hi, I'm Sam, I'm a Family Guy. When it comes to dick pics, you better believe I send it.
I have one for Sam as well. Hi, my name is Sam, and when it comes to us, I chip it.
Oh, ship
I like that
it.
One.
All right, let's see. What else I got?
I have a clip one.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Cliff, and I will eat your butthole.
You know, before the wife.
Before the wife.
Yeah, the one with Cliff that was just straight up, I play with rods.
Yeah.
Or like poles or whatever with the guys was like, okay, they're not even trying here.
No.
Okay, I don't know who went to sexual innuendo school, but like, they're not supposed to be that blatantly obvious. Like, it might as well just be the one that Mike said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, oh man, this competition's crazy. You know, I licked a lot of buttholes, you know, before the wife.
My one,
you know, I touched a lot of rods, you know, before Zingbot showed his to me.
Before yeah. The Zingbot. My Cliff one was, I'm Cliff, I'll flip you like a pizza, make your dreams become real life. But just a reminder, kids, this was before the wife.
I like
I'll flip you like a pizza?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Like, you know, toss you like, I don't want to say toss again because salad, but like
Oh, yeah. How about my name's Cliff and SMD 143.
Oh,
hey, ayo. Okay, let's see. We Urban Dictionary sexual innuendo, because I think really, you know, anyone could be put in there, because actually mine was just like, hi, I'm Cliff. I'm from Texas, and insert sexual innuendo here,
yeah, exactly.
You know, before the wife. Oh man. Most of mine really start to just get garbage after that. Like, I'm Christy, I'd like to manifest your truth. I'm Nicole, I'd like to draw your Pegasus. Oh, actually I have a good one for Nicole. Alright, okay, I got one more. I'm Nicole, I'm 24, and I want to show you what I have locked in my basement.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, remember when she locked her parents in the basement?
Yeah, remember when we were like, what mean spirit is this?
Yeah, like, what evil child do we have here? Does anybody else have any other good ones?
I'm all spent. I just left it. I eat buttholes.
That was a really great one to close out on.
I have two surprise ones, one for each of you, so please cue me up. Hi, I'm Mike Bloom, but my friends call me the man whore. My latest podcast is called Down the Hatch, but you know what rhymes with that. In the industry, we call that a full bloom.
No. It needs to be, now I podcast Down the Hatch, if you know what I mean.
I do like how I had to explain in the industry. It shows how rusty I would be if I was on the dating scene, because I would just, like, completely undo any sex talk that would come across.
It's like a weird flex but okay moment.
Yeah.
All right, and now the Liana.
Uh-oh.
My name is Liana, and I like a wine and dine, and two can dine with a cheeky 69.
Oh, that's cute.
I love the rhyming on Puya that you're pulling off here. Yeah. You have Holly Allen shook.
Yes, and I have one more Liana that's not as cute. Hi, I'm Liana, and luckily for you, I never come first.
That's like Paul's. I'm Paul. I'm 25. I always finish second.
Yeah, exactly.
I always come second. Yeah. Oh, I'm such a generous lover.
Yes, we're not talking about any events that went on last week on RedApp at all.
Oh, I just got it. God damn it. Oh, man. I know. God, I can't win a competition against Melissa to save my life.
Between
my
that
God.
And your forfeit points as well.
Yeah, I mean, even animated me doesn't do a good job. Some people asked us to address the Royal Rumble. I have nothing to say. I did garbage. Even watching little animated me, I was like, Liana, do better.
Listen,
like, I was pretty bad
you,
at it.
You, I paled in comparison to you. I was in there for, I think, a minute before I was outdone by, for some reason, Elaine Bennis and Taryn. Though I will commend myself for, I guess, being so snappily dressed.
Yes.
And apparently, the maker also responded to my tweet being like, oh, you were actually wearing a yarmulke at the same time.
Oh, I didn't see that. But yeah, you were very snappily dressed. I loved your shirt. I thought it was very cute.
I know, I might have to invest in that wardrobe.
I know. You should actually are we going to go to the live show on Thursday dressed as our Royal Rumble characters? I'll get my lab coat and some gloves.
I don't know if anyone can recognize us without wearing those outfits, to be quite honest.
That's true. It's the only way I know me now.
All right. So let's get into, of course, a tried and true tradition of the B&B here, our Big Brother fan fiction. I have found another one where we put ourselves in the reader's position as a house guest. I have confirmed reading through the story several times. This is a female character. So we are going to create a female house guest. So I want you two to sort of brainstorm what the name and personality of this house guest is.
Egg.
Okay. The house guest name is Egg.
Not the egg, just Egg.
But well, okay. How about the house guest name is Egg, but they look like the thingamajig.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Okay, I like that. Yes. So, named Egg, look like a giant asparagus.
Dressed in Liana's Royal Rumble outfit.
Okay, yeah. So, gloves. lab coat, gloves, hair up in a bun, which, to be fair, that's actually what I look like at work. I was actually very impressed. It was like, is it Brett from Canada? I was like, oh man, like, that's actually what I look like. Anywho, okay, so back to Egg. Do we need to discern any of Egg's personality traits, or do we think that'll kind of come out in the
It'll come out a little bit, because Egg is about to find herself in a little bit of a wayward romance with one Nick Macaroni.
Oh no.
All right, here we go. And this is from Wattpad, though I will keep the writer anonymous, almost like unanimous. Ever since I looked to the right of me, on the stage during the premiere of Big Brother 21, I knew he was the one I'd fall in love with this summer. His bright smile made my heart melt, and his voice made my face heat up red. And turns out, he felt the same way. Last night, Nick had come to me in private and told me this. Egg, when I first saw you, I knew... No, I thought you were beautiful. I loved everything about you on the outside. And now that I've been getting to know you better, I think I love every single thing about you. So now guess what? I'd like to believe we're the first showmans of BB21. The first nomination ceremony was yesterday, and me and Nick were laying together in one of the bedrooms. I closed my eyes as he played with my hair, but then all of a sudden, I grabbed my stomach and started to laugh as Nick gave me a concerned sideways glance. Are you hungry? He asked, laughing. Yeah, I'm going to go get some food. I'll be right back. I hopped up and walked to the kitchen at a fast pace, and then turning the corner to see Jackson eating a bowl of cut-up watermelon out of the fridge. Her egg, he said with his mouth full. I smiled and said hi back, and he covered his mouth. Huh. I'm so sorry, he laughed as he swallowed. You seem really hungry. I walked over and grabbed a fork before stabbing a piece of watermelon and taking a bite. You know, I sighed, watermelon is good, but how can you just eat so much of it all the time? Jackson shrugged and we proceeded to eat the whole bowl of watermelon. I tossed my fork into the sink. I'm gonna go back to my room, all right? I told Jackson.
Yep, I'll see you around, Egg.
Jackson washed the bowl and tossed it in the sink as well, and I turned around. I started to jog back to the room. Why are you jogging? But me and Jackson had barely left the kitchen when Nick was in sight, walking slowly to where me and Jackson were. Hi, I'm better now, I smiled at Nick. He looked back at the kitchen and at Jackson walking away. What? I grabbed Nick's hand lightly and led him back to our room. He stayed silent. For the rest of the night, things weren't the same. He didn't play with my hair. No, it was just a blank stare, nods, and okays. Yes and no answers, no effort or thought at all. I decided I had enough, and I backed off of Nick. Night, I sighed as I turned away from him. Good night. He turned the opposite way. The next morning, I got up in the middle of the night and went to go sleep with Holly. I didn't mean to fall asleep. I just wanted to talk with her. Because all of a sudden, Nick is in this terrible mood, and I had no idea why. So I talked to Holly, and we came to the conclusion that only I could fix this, and I could do it by confronting him, so I can really know what's going on. I walked into Nick's room and laid back down in his bed. He was still asleep, but the sudden movement of the bed woke him a bit. His eyes fluttered open. Good morning! I smiled in his face, which is a frightening image. He half-smiled and closed his eyes again. Don't go back to sleep! I whisper-shouted. And booped his nose. This time, he opened his eyes all the way and got up slowly. What's up? He smiled sleepily. What happened last night? Why did the mood change all of a sudden? I asked. Nick pressed his lips together and grabbed my hands lightly. It was nothing, Egg. I promise. It wasn't nothing because it ruined my night last night. I whisper shouted. It wasn't nothing because I ruined my night last night. I whisper shouted. Just tell me, please. I beg. Let it all out. I smiled sadly as Nick pulled his hands away and rubbed his eyes. You know, Egg, you're very pretty, Nick laughed. And that wasn't the stupid part, I promise. Nick paused and I nodded my head, motioning him to proceed. I just feel like to them I can't compare. Like you're this gorgeous girl, I see my little Egg talking to some guy who's taller and tougher than me, and I get a little jealous, I ask. Nick remains silent and looks away from me. I climbed up into Nick's bed where he slept alone for the night. He lowed back down and I laid next to him. Once I was up in his bed, I put my forehead up against his. I looked into his beautiful eyes and then leaned in to kiss him. I pulled away after a few seconds. Don't ever
never compare yourself to them. I whisper. You're the only one I want.
Why should
you? You're the one who makes me happiest.
Egg is threatening.
And you're the one that I want. Nick leaned in and kissed me again. I felt my face just keep heating up, but I stopped kissing him and leaned on his shoulder.
There's no need to be jealous of any guy in this house. I mean, how could anybody in general possibly replace you?
I don't know, but the next time you have a watermelon party, please count me in. He kissed my forehead. The end.
That's the most I think I've liked Nick out of the entire season of Big Brother. I do actually have one question that I thought of when the watermelon eating was happening. If Egg eats an egg, is that cannibalism?
I guess the question is Egg an egg if Egg is supposed to look like the thingamajig?
No, yeah, because Egg is a thingamajig. Okay, so then it's fine. Okay, all right, good. Just clarifying.
So yes, thank you for yet another entertaining me for another good piece of Big Brother fan fiction. As we find out a little bit more of a wholesome side of Nick, despite poor Egg being caught in the act eating watermelon with Jackson.
Mm. So it was whisper yelling? What was the weird thing that you were doing?
Whisper shouting.
Whisper shouting. I don't know still what that means. Like, I heard it.
All I know is it really hurts your throat.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe Sam Smith can tell you how to cure a raspy throat, considering he yells all the time. Okay, so I want to move on to our final segment, but we actually got a tweet from Zaddy Taryn at Daddy Taryn.
Is this like breaking BNC news?
Breaking news, the hashtag RHAPBNB. Apparently, Tommy revealed to Jackson and Holly that he knew Christy before coming into the house.
No.
And Tommy said, her ex-girlfriend is my aunt.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah, he straight up told them. And it's so funny because we all thought it was going to be Christy who was going to go into the jury house and be like, oh my gosh, you guys, like, let me tell you everything. And instead, we have little old Tommy. Oh my God, 1,000%, I knew Christy.
Why did he do that?
So unclear. I don't know if they've played veto yet in this moment. So I don't know if this is like a last ditch effort to try to like save himself in some way. Although, why telling them that he knew Christy?
He's like, saying
when you
like,
just
hey, want
to get rid of him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, listen, just so you know, to help you not get rid of me, I have one guaranteed jury vote right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's insane. I mean, I'm sure Taryn will be hopping on Twitch soon to cover this breaking news. Let's just move the BNB over to Twitch afterwards. Let's all just show up on Taryn's stream and just be like, hey, we know you love to hear yourself talk, but we're here.
That is legitimately shocking. I have no words. I
can't believe it.
I cannot believe that.
That is undeniably a crazy move.
Yeah, this is hella dumb. This is not good.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. They're saying they're both comforting Tommy, apparently.
I didn't see anything about the veto yet. Here.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that just happened. So this will probably be like we'll see a development further as this goes along. Yeah. But I guess maybe he's just lonely. Maybe that can be our next fan fiction. Lonely Tommy. I don't know. Alrighty, so let's wrap things up with Casuals Corner. So I talked a little bit about this on the morning update, but the Casuals did not like the move to go after Tommy and Christy. Yeah, which is crazy because they hate Christy, so I don't quite understand this, but they really thought that like Mickey needed to go. So I just wanted to mention that because that was like the most immediate and clear thing I noticed when reading all of these comments. But we're not going to talk about that. I'm going to ask questions or read some comments that are much more silly. So the way that this is going to work is good old fashioned Casuals Corner. So I have pulled 3 comments from the Big Brother Facebook group and I have written 1 comment. So I'm going to read 4 comments. 3 are from the actual Facebook page and the other one I wrote. So it's up to the two of you to figure out which comment I wrote.
Cool.
Okay. So, Pooya, we're going to start with you. So these comments are all about Jessica.
Yay.
that said no one. Okay. A.
I'm surprised there are three comments about Jessica, to be completely honest.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Like, thankfully, there were some whole posts dedicated to her. So on that post, there were still a lot of extraneous comments about not her, but I was able to find a few. All right. A. Who knew people could be so attached to a piece of furniture?
Ooh. Ooh.
B. What a crock. The doorknob was more of a hindrance than Jessica. C. Boobs out and they got the boob out.
What?
Boobs out and they got the boob out?
Yeah.
That sounds like a lyric.
Did Holly write this?
Maybe that'll be in Holly's next song. Or D. She was useless, .. Just stayed at a house rent free for 2 months. So, like, I guess they mean the Big Brother house could be a house somewhere else. I'm not quite sure. So, Puya, which comment do you think I wrote?
I am super conflicted because when I first heard the first one, I was like, okay, Liana slamming Jessica. I don't think the casuals are doing this. But then the other ones were all slamming her, too. So, let's go with the song lyric one, which I've already forgotten. But let's go with that one is yours. The boobs out. Got the boob out.
Yeah, that was mine.
That was Zingbot's campaign anthem, right?
I think so, yeah. Or that was like the chant to get him out. Like, get the boob out. But, like, his boobs are out, get the boob out. I don't know, when he flashed somebody. Yeah, that one I wrote. Okay, so the casuals were also just insulting everybody, not just Jessica. So, Mike, this question is for you, and this is general insult. Ooh. Okay. A. Dance boy is screwed. You burnt. B. Mitchie is such an a-hole. Single for the rest of his life. Scrunch face. C. Goodbye to the muncher monster.
Okay.
Or D. Yeah, Christy. Or D. The floor pissing hillbilly should have gone up before Christy.
The floor pissing hillbilly. Is that going to be Jackson's comic book name?
It better be.
Yeah, that's his BB comic.
Floor pissing fad.
The floor pissing fad. Oh man, I'm going to look that up on Urban Dictionary.
I'm going to say A, you wrote.
That is correct.
Wow.
I wrote Dance Boys. Screwed, you burnt.
Yeah, because I feel like that's very Eleanor Shellstrop, and I don't know how much people would channel The Good Place in casual comments.
Yeah, that's where it came from. Well, man, that's so derivative. Okay, all right, Puya, this next question is for you. We're all tied up. So they announced on the Facebook page that Big Brother has been renewed for next season. So we will be getting a continuation of the Zingbot saga, which is really all I care about now. Who cares about the gameplay? But the casuals, of course, had numerous suggestions for next year. So I'm going to read out some of those suggestions. A. Suggestion for next year's casting. 1/3 normal casting agents, 1/3 super fans, and 1/3 strategic past players.
Wait, so it's fans versus favorites versus casting agents?
Yeah, which I think Survivor has already claimed that season for 45. So, yes, these fans versus favorites versus casting agents season, I'm really looking forward to. Okay, B. Better casting, please. Some more people over 30. No more crybaby hags and showmance was hookers. Thanks.
Wait, was it like has-beens was hookers?
Showmance was hookers. Thanks.
Mm.
C. Please cast more interesting people, not racists.
Ooh.
Or D. A season of older people, please. BB geriatrics would be the best. So, Puya, which comment do you think I wrote?
See, based on the way people talk on this casuals group, I do not think anyone could correctly spell and say geriatric. I think that one is you, so I'm going to go with D.
That's correct. I originally had BB geriatrics would be lit, but I thought that was too
Man,
obviously
you're
me.
Really loving all these little colloquialisms. I love this idea of putting like five casting agents in the game of Big Brother.
Yeah, I don't know what that would look like, but you know, who knows? They've been through, they've seen a lot of people, they're familiar. Now, what I guess I don't know are these the same casting agents that are casting the super fans?
Oh no, or talk about knowing each other before group? The season.
Yeah, exactly. I have your like 200 question semi-finalist packet right here.
More like, listen, I need to work with you. I cast you on this show, so you're gonna need to work with me.
Yeah, you can't vote me out. I put you on this show.
I put you in the show. I can take you out of it at the same time.
Or it could be a thing where they're casting agents from different shows, and then it's a fun game of them, much like people, you know, try to use Big Brother to just boost their social media fame. They might just be using it to try to poach people onto other reality shows.
Oh, well, I mean, given the whole Love Island connection, like that could be entirely possible. Or it's all the casting agents for the challenge that come on and they're like, this is the best way. We get to meet them like up in personal. We'll find out whether or not they'll be good for the show.
Eliminate the middleman. Let's just put them directly in contact with these people.
Like, hey, if you leave me off the block, I will cast you on the next season of Pissing Hillbillies. I've got you. Just listen to me.
Floor Pissing Hillbillies.
Sorry, my bad. FPH forever.
Such a good insult. All right. Okay. This next question for Mike. So these are poorly worded comments. I'm just going to read them. Okay. A. Opinions are like a-holes. Everyone has one, and I loved Christy. Blast me if you feel like it.
It also was weird that they just like didn't put a period between of like opinions are like assholes and I love Christy.
And everyone has one and I love Christy. So blast me in my a-hole. I don't know. All right. B. The moon was sitting perfect last night for a back door.
Oh boy.
Yeah. C. Christy was bent over backwards trying to stay. Come on. Just take it already. Or D, I wish Jess would have aligned with Nick. I think they both would have lasted longer together.
Well, listen, low bar to clear with Nick. I'm going to say you wrote C, bend over backwards and take it.
Yeah, that was mine. Okay, great. So I obviously did a terrible job. You all got all of your questions correct. So let's move on to our tiebreaker. So I'm going to read four comments. And you have to get... No. That's not how I'm going to do it. I'm going to read a comment and you're going to have to tell me, did this get more than one like or not?
Ooh.
Okay, so we're going to go back and forth. So you have to say, yes, more than one like, or no, it did not get more than one like.
Cool.
Okay? So that means it got zero or one. Okay. All right. Puya, we will start with you. I'm shocked that I'm saying this, but Timmy, Tammy, Little Tommy, please win this next HOH and get out either Mickey or Holly.
Timmy, Tammy, Little Tommy.
Timmy, Tammy, Little Tommy. That should have been the name of our house guest. Timmy, Tammy,
Little Tommy.
Egg. All right, so Puya, did they get more than one like?
I feel like let's go with one. That's going to be underappreciated.
Ooh, I'm sorry. That got 32 likes.
Oh, okay. So
they love that nickname.
They love Timmy, Tammy, Little Tommy.
I liked it.
Okay, all right, this next one. So, Mike, if you get this correct, you win the game. Okay. Bye, Christy. Chew you later.
Ooh, that got more than one like.
That only got one like.
That's so much smarter than Timmy, Tammy, Tommy.
I know, and it's such a good insult. Chew you later. Okay, all right, Puya. We're still in this. Yeah. All right. Egads! You just had to do it. You just had to show Christy just wailing away this one last time. Ish kabibble.
Maybe the geriatrics found their way onto the Big Brother Facebook page after all.
Is that like a 20s phrase?
It feels like it, yeah, with the goalie gals.
The goalie gals and the bee's knees. Egads!
Ish kabibble.
Okay, Puya, did that get more than one like?
No, it couldn't have gotten more than one like.
It didn't. Technically, it got zero likes. It got one laugh emoji. So, All right. So we're just going to Puya wins because yeah, I'm running out of comments. So congratulations, Puya. You have won.
Wait,
this
did I forfeit? Is that why I won?
Yeah. You forfeited, so you got a point. Yay.
You got eliminated for getting your boob out. Get your boob out, and you got a point as a result.
Boobs out, get the boob
boobs
out.
Boobs out. Yeah, what's that? Like, it's not boobs out something
suns out. Guns
what's that
out,
phrase?
Buns out.
Suns out. Buns out. Suns out, buns out.
Oh, suns yeah, out, so tubes out, boobs out.
Tubes out, boobs out. Yeah!
Coined by the B&B.
Oh, Mike, you floor-pissing hillbilly, you. Ishkabibble!
Ishkabibble, such a Spencer comment, Liana. Wow, we created our own entire language by the end of this podcast, and I am thrilled about it. That's going to do it for this iteration of the B&B. We're going to get together one more time after the finale to talk about what goes on with the final five. We thought it was going to be a pretty straightforward week, but considering what we just found out that Tommy did, it's far from that.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to get to experience it and get to talk with people live with Liana, as both of us will be in attendance for the live Big Brother RHAP event this coming Thursday. If you're going to be in town, come say hey. We'll talk about really stupid, silly things like we're wanting to do, and we'll talk some Big Brother as well. But I'm very, very excited to see Liana and to see everybody there in a few days.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so much fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Egads, guys. Like, it's really just going to be a party.
Well, Puya, your presence will certainly be missed, but you'll definitely be around covering Big Brother as we round the corner with these final couple weeks. For people who want to keep up with all your thoughts on everything, how can people follow you on social media and keep up with anything you've been, you know, working on?
They can follow me on all major platforms at Puyaism. And they can join me, those who are not going to be there can join me in spirit as we pretend we were there Thursday night. And also, just because I'm not going to be there, I want to still try and get something there. Everyone, go up to Mike and Liana and just yell egads at them that night. Please and thank you.
Oh, man. Little Timmy Tammy, little Tommy. How dare you?
Don't yell egads, whisper shout egads at us.
Yes, whisper shout. Talk about how Egg was your favorite character.
Do a Beans impersonation.
And of course, if you want to check out some of Puya's past work, he did an unprecedented, like, nearly three appearances on Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast a few weeks ago, and he was fantastic on it. So if you want to check out some Canadian culture and some ancient Western gameplay, check out Puya's work on Renap.
Is that the Oregon Trail?
Ancient Western gameplay. You city slickers.
Whatever. Well, at least you didn't die.
Hey.
Well, Liana, before we see you in New York, how can people follow you on social media and keep up with what you've been working on?
Yeah, so you can find me on social media at Liana Boris. Mostly just doing the Big Brother updates right now, but you know, we're starting to get back into US Survivor territory, so starting to think about all of that. Of course, Mike, you're much busier with that, but the B&B will definitely be back for the Survivor season, which should be a lot of fun.
Yes, so I can officially say this because CBS announced it. So now that the cat is out of the bag here, the Island of the Idols cast, Survivor 39, will finally be announced on Monday, and I have a large amount of content to do with the preseason because I had the fortune of flying out to Fiji and being there for the preseason of Survivor 39. I got to interview the cast. I got to interview Rob and Sandra in a truly unexpected scenario that I don't think anyone would have ever predicted until it was officially announced. I got to talk with a bunch of people from production as well. It was an incredible experience, and I'm excited to introduce you all to this group of people, this new cast of 20 characters, who I think is a really, really fun group. And on top of that, you know, I'll be doing a bunch of stuff for Parade.com. I'll be putting out articles actually every day from when the cast is released on Monday all the way to the premiere on Wednesday, September 25th. So just go to Parade.com/tag/survivor to check all that out. Also, I'll be getting together with Josh and Rob Sesternino to officially, you know, start the preseason coverage for RHAP. We'll break down a bit more about the Island of the Idols twist because there are a lot of components to it. So be sure to check that out. Speaking of Josh Wiggler, him and I have recently, as Puya alluded to in my bad pickup line, started a new podcast called Down the Hatch, an episodic Lost rewatch. You're taking on the Herculean task of watching an episode of Lost every week and talking for hours at a time about it. We've only done a handful of podcasts so far, but they have been insanely fun. If you are a fan of Lost and looking for an excuse to get back into it, be sure to check that out on post-show recaps. Outside of that, I'm doing Big Brother Exit Press, obviously, for Parade.com. I'll be talking to all the contestants that are going to be coming our way in the next couple of weeks, as well as covering Survivor internationally with South Africa and Australia, which are both coming to an end. So, busy month of September, but I am having so much fun, and this podcast is par for the course there. And you can always follow me at @AMikeBloomType. That's going to do it for this installment of the RHAP B&B. We'll be back in a few weeks' time to break down all of BB21 once it ends and we see a winner at the end of this crazy race. Thank you all so much for listening. Puya, Liana, great work as per usual. Special thanks to Scott and Pierre for editing behind the scenes and Will from America for our theme song. We'll check you out at your next stay.
Pa-pow.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAP B&B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAP.